Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. Come explore news, information, entertainment, and ideas from a pagan point of view around the globe. Tune in every night for interviews and lively discussions on current events, philosophies, traditional and not-so-traditional practices, DIY projects, the who's who and what's what of our growing pagan community right here on Blog Talk Radio in English and now in Spanish.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is a Witch School After Hours with special guest host Ed Hubbard and
Tracy Logan Wood.
And we're here filling in for the usual crew who for various are across the United States busy tonight. So here we are. And I guess we're supposed to be talking about divination.
Yeah, but it's kind of a weird deja vu-ish sort of thing that you and I are on the air together alone, much like the Ed and Tracy show.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and basically this also replaced the Marianne and Ed show ages ago. But I suddenly see a bunch of stuff on the board about cards and things like that. Did you put those up there?
I did.
Okay. Well, let's first let's talk a little bit about what's Witch School. Witch School is the sponsor of Pagans Tonight Radio, and this is their time, and they talk about it. Lindsay, Michael, Charlene, Sherry Cooper, Marianne, a lot of people really work really hard all week long to bring you Witch School. And it's an amazing site. So if you really want to help us out, Witch School out, the best thing you can do is become a member, and you can check it out at witchschool.com. So how do we start this out today, Tracy?
Well, the show is supposed to be on divination, so we should probably talk about divination. And I see that Don is in the chat room.
Okay.
So, you know, we could suck him in later to give examples of other types of divination, because Don does a lot of different types of divination.
Right.
So we can start with the most commonly used. Or my perception of the most commonly used, which is probably the tarot.
It is probably the most commonly used. I would debate either tarot or astrology as a divination method. But, you know, people don't use, because astrology is in every newspaper every day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not every newspaper, but a lot of them. Some newspapers don't, but astrology is one, too, but tarot is a good one to start with.
I found it amusing that, I don't know if it was always in the lifestyle section, but now it's in the lifestyle section of the newspaper.
Gotcha.
So, I don't know, maybe it's made some advances with the general public and how they view it.
Yeah. It could be. So I think it's probably one of the best things about it and one of the best ideas about it, about tarot, is that almost anybody can pick up a deck of cards and use them.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be a real big, well, one of the ways that we spent a lot of time on tarot very early in our relationships, we used to do the Karmic Retreat. And we used to do tarot. That was one of our first professional tarot gigs. And we'd do tarot readings, and we'd actually have reading sheets, and we'd hand them out to people.
I don't think anybody does that, though, now.
No. Nope. No.
No,
you know, I
want to be held accountable for their accurate or inaccurate stuff.
And... Well, it's very interesting because on Witch School, we have a tarot program, a really nice tarot program that you can get readings from.
And how would somebody access that?
On the front page of witchschool.com, there's a link to it, and there's a 1-card, 3-card, 5-card, 7-card, 9-card reading, 10-card reading. And they're always looking for people to help out and develop that. So, you know, so there are those people out there trying to develop it. So people could add their definitions. It's kind of a social program. It was something that Michael built that was really, really, really nice. And it was the idea of it was eventually going to be a social tarot program. He still hasn't gotten enough people to help him out with it, but, you know, write him, michael@witchschool.com. If you have definitions of tarot that you personally own, not out of a book, not out of another thing, but your personal ownership, and you can, you know, you can help out with that program and become part of a great program. That's it. That's all I have about that part.
That was Ed's little soapbox.
Well, it's a great program. He spent so much time writing this program, and he hasn't yet, as far as I know, has gotten really, there's Don's definitions, but really people haven't really given him the definitions he needs to make it really filled out. Because in his imagination, in his workings, it would be such a great program to have multiple styles of readings, and multiple definitions, so they would blend into sort of like a social program. He always envisioned it kind of as a Watson. I don't know if you know what a Watson is. The machine, the computer program that won Jeopardy, and became a doctor, and becoming a doctor, and now he's becoming a customer service expert. It's an artificial intelligence or a expert intelligence that has become amazing. And he always wanted to kind of see if he could create a computer program that could do what a human did. Or take what humans do and kind of combine it together. So
I don't know. I guess that kind of takes the fun out of it a little bit for me.
Well, yeah, I can see that.
I mean, I'm always kind of entertained when people create programs for divinatory stuff.
Yeah.
There was a website, it was, I found it through, like, some Caribbean website, but it had this thing on there called Ask Julio, and Julio threw the OB, so it was part of the, like, African diaspora, and I had it saved for the longest time on the computer, because every now and then I'd, you know, get a wild hair up my butt and go over there and ask it a question and let it throw the OB. And it was always kind of amusing. But the OB was never meant to, like, answer more than, like, yes or no type questions. But then one day it was gone. But Facebook, because I know many, many, many of you are on Facebook, Facebook has a little astrology thing called Ask Anita. It's Anita the Psychic. So you can ask her questions, or I think it's mostly horoscope, though.
Mm-hmm.
But it tells you, like, specifically what your horoscope is for the day. And so I have it on my Facebook. It's kind of entertaining, and on occasion I will post something that says, my electronic psychic says, and then I'll post it to Facebook.
Oh, gotcha. That's kind of neat. And I do think that one of the things that is out there, I think on Blog Talk Radio it's very interesting because, you know, tarot readings and psychic readings are one of the more popular shows that they have. There's a lot of shows with it.
And Emma the Hellas is doing readings. They're the next show coming on, so they'll be doing readings live tonight.
Who's that?
Him of the Hell is
tonight?
The show that follows us. Uh-huh, they're doing it tonight.
Oh, okay, I did not know that. How interesting.
And I flashed it all over our pages on Facebook, so if people wanted to call in and get a reading, they can do that.
Yep. And they should. But, you know, tarot isn't the only form of divination they have out there.
No, not at all.
I used to be a bibliomancy. When I first started my career as a reader, when I was once upon a time a reader, You know, 20 years ago, let me tell you, remind you of something. So 20 years ago, this month, you know what we did? One of the things we did? We did a psychic fair for Halloween.
Did we?
At the Avalon. And I wrote the
See, I'm getting so old, I forget these things.
I see. I wrote the Principle Prophetica, which was a basically based on, you know, kind of the idea of doing divination the same way. That was my experiment of doing Nostradamus-style readings. So, yeah. I don't know if anyone has it. You still have a copy. I don't know how many people have a copy anymore of that.
Oh,
it's
no
probably
idea.
Gonna be, I guess it's going to be a lost book.
Maybe.
Each one was hand. It was only about 150 ever made. All handmade, but it was a very interesting idea because I experimented with divination at the time. At one time, I was really big into divination. But
I think we all kind of are sometimes.
What?
I said I think we all kind of are sometimes.
Right. But I kind
of
gave it off.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking that people will probably think when you say bibliomancy, you're talking about using the Bible.
Well, I did use the Bible, amongst other things, but using books is using books to do divination. You just grab any book you want, and you just grab it, and you ask your question, and then you open it up, and wherever you point to is your answer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's how bibliomancy works. It's the idea that books, being kind of a wealth of knowledge, could be, almost any book could answer a question for you if you knew what you're looking for. I know that's kind of strange, isn't it? But sometimes it works.
Well, interestingly enough, somebody took that idea, and they actually created a book called The Book of Answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I will post that in the chat room right now for anybody who wants to go have a peek at that. And you can buy one for $13. They get cheaper on Amazon. But anyway, it's called The Book of Answers, and it's actually a book that's just full of answers. So
Links on which book?
What?
Sorry. Oh, no, if you actually buy from Amazon and you click through Witchful, we get credit for it.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. You can do that, too. But anyway, if you're supposed to focus on your question and either say it telepathically, silently, or out loud, or whatever floats your boat, and then you open the book, and it says things like, if it's done well, if not, don't do it at all. So it gives you a variety of different answers to possibly your question.
Gotcha.
So they're kind of neat. I have one because I used to keep it on my coffee table because I thought it was a humorous conversation piece.
And did it ever really help you, or did you just consider it an interesting conversation piece?
I don't think I ever used it seriously. It was always something, you know, it was always a conversation starter.
Okay, fair enough.
Because people would go, Book of Answers, what's that? Ask it a question and open it, and then they would do it. But I don't think that, it would be considered, like, the same thing as divination, per se. Kind of like a quickie one.
Right. Well, what is divination? Then what is the description of divination then? Yeah, is it the art of basically telling the future, right?
Yes.
Through
making predictions.
Semi-random
practice. It's seeking knowledge, whereas the unknown possibly becomes the known.
Mm-hmm. Now, we know people love tarot reading. We know that. People can whip out cards for tarot readings and just get all sorts of, people. That's how I my careers because I was at a party and people asked me to do tarot card reading. And even though I didn't know it was the same time, and because the people who were asking me were particularly lovely young ladies, and I was a particularly young man who never got that much attention. It's true. That's how I started tarot card readings. It made me more interesting as a person to be a tarot reader.
Yes, Ed the Taroist.
I was the urban taroist before that word got so tainted. We live in modern times. When I was doing it in the 90s, it was funny. The idea of a terrorist wasn't as bad today. It was like, believe it or not, there was a time in America where we were pretty terrorists. It's so long ago, right?
Yeah, a long time ago.
And I became the urban tarotist. This picture of me was double bandoliers of tarot cards. And you never knew when I might...
have my button.
Yeah, and you never knew when I knew or might be read by Ed. And I would come out of... And I would do random readings, and people who would do my radio... people who knew our radio show back then, Sega Chicago Radio on WVVX. 103.5 FM, Chicago, Highland Park, Illinois. I remember that. We would do these sort of wonderful random readings for people. I would just set up at places and do free readings. And it was quite an experience.
I think there's too many people that will, say no to free readings.
No. But I set up at all sorts of places.
As a matter of fact, they in Indianapolis, they raise money for Coming Out Day by asking for volunteer readers, and then they do readings for $5 all afternoon.
Okay.
And so that is one of their fundraising projects for International Pagan Coming Out Day.
Well, that makes some sense. I mean, it is one of those things that people love, so... people love reading, so they kind of do that. So, I see you have all this stuff up here. Do you plan to do something with that, or is it just up there?
I do. I was just going to say that I figured we'd listen to Barbara Meyer, a couple things by Barbara Meyer, talking all about tarot. And then we would come back and move on to the next form of divination.
Okay.
So stick around. Here's some stuff by Barbara G. Meyer, who used to do a feature we did regularly called All About Tarot, and this one is on picking a deck.
This is Barbara G. Meyer talking all about tarot. Tonight, we will talk about picking a tarot deck. How do you pick a tarot deck to use? There are hundreds, even thousands, of published and unpublished decks to choose from. Some people like to create their own tarot decks. Some decks have pictures on the minor arcana. Some, referred to as Mersey decks, don't. The best way to pick a deck for you is to look at a lot of them. Most catalogs will show several examples of cards out of a deck. Look at them and ask yourself, do these pictures say something for me? Do I like the art? How do I feel looking at these cards? No, that is not irrelevant. I, for one, feel very uncomfortable looking at pictures of the Toth or Crowley deck. Some decks, you won't feel anything. Others are so meaningful for you, you will know what that card means to you. That is probably the deck you should pick. Take it home and play with it. Don't memorize the meanings of the cards as listed in the little white book that comes with it. Try to figure out what each card may mean for you. That is the way to open up your inner vision.
Thank you.
is Barbara G. Meyer talking all about tarot. Tonight, we will talk about getting started with tarot cards. I am sure you have seen tarot cards and wondered about them. Maybe you have even had a reading before. I am starting a new series here of short pieces about tarot. I hope you will enjoy them. For this first broadcast, let's talk about what tarot is and what it is not. It is 78 cards, including 56 minor arcana, the suit cards, cups, pentacles, swords, and wands, with four court cards in each suit, king, queen, page, and knight. Then come the infamous major arcana, 22 cards, which include death, the devil, the tower, and such fun cards as the lovers and the chariot. What it is not is a way to tell what the future will be. The future is not set in stone. Options and possibilities are available to us all. So all we readers can really tell is what is possible, not what will happen. So if tarot does not tell the future, what does it do? It allows people to open up to the Akashic record, the record of everything up till this moment. It enables you to see the patterns of thoughts and behaviors, to see reality as it is, not as you may want it to be. Tarot can give you facts. It cannot give you help. That is for you to give yourself. Just open up your inner vision.
Barbara G. Meyer has been a professional psychic and psychic entertainer since 1989. She reads tarot cards and palms in a way that is insightful, positive, and fun. At parties, she does one-on-one readings with each of your guests. When they are done, your guests will feel good about themselves and excited about their future. Barbara primarily works in the Chicago metropolitan area, but if requested, will travel to surrounding states and even further. For more information on Barb Meyer, call 773-282-6556 or check out her website at www.bgmeyer.com. So we're back after those short little pieces by Barb Meyer on the tarot. I hope you enjoyed those. So, she used to do a regular feature spot with us and talked all about tarot. So I guess we're going to move on.
Okay. And what are we going to move on to?
Well, Barb did mention palmistry.
Right. Well,
palmistry.
I know a little bit about. I know hardly anything about palmistry myself, other than palmistry is one of those things that where you read the lines of the hand and try to make a judgment on the person's life.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that you're, that you basically look at it and then people basically can read. From there, about your future, about your past, about your current, what it was supposed to be. It's probably one of the, after tarot, I think it's the most recognized. It certainly is in the movies.
Mm-hmm. Usually the old gypsy from the Lon Chaney Jr. movies who was foretelling doom. and his son would have me quizzed. On what the name of the little old gypsy lady was from the Lon Chaney Jr. movies, which was, I believe he said her name was Maria Ospenskaya. So there's a bit of trivia for you.
Bless you.
What was that?
Bless you.
Oh. Smarty.
Yeah.
I guess what I would say about palmistry is that I don't think I've seen a lot of people who do just that. Usually somebody who does palmistry does it in conjunction with something else. So they probably read, like, their main thing is reading tarot cards, and they do palmistry.
Yeah, I think it used to be a separate art, but then tarot cards and palmistry went hand in hand. Well, I remember when I first started out in the tarot business, and I was a bibliomancer and I did tarot, I remember at first people were pretty much like they had their skills, their psychic skills. And then, and basically, and that was the late 80s, oh my God. But by the 90s, all sorts of readers started picking up more and more skills. They had to become more and more diversified in their professional tarot readings. So they would do tarot, and then they would also do pendulums, and they would do all of it. And all divination systems have at its core is the idea of a perfection of randomness. There was a random element to it that it contained. And so not so random as that you couldn't understand it, but random enough that it was a bunch of choices that the universe, I believe the universe made a choice, to try to get your intuition to work. So you do divination with almost anything. And there are literally, and somewhere on Witch School, I know there's a whole list of different types of, I don't remember where it is. Shame on me.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably in the divination class, as Marianne told me over my shoulder here. Thank you, Marianne. That basically there's a whole bunch of different ways to do divination, and they're all basically random, potentially random patterns to get that you ask a question and the random pattern, you get some idea of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had some interesting readings, and I've had some different types of readings. I think picks up on patterns of behavior. And some of the other ones, I don't know if I would quite say I understood how they worked, but I will recommend a particular reader.
Okay.
I went to Priestess Miriam, who originally was from Chicago, but moved down to New Orleans and opened the New Orleans Voodoo Temple. So I went, I heard lots of stuff about her, so I went to go see her for a reading, and she did, like, a bone oracle.
Okay.
So the bone oracle thing was, like, kind of interesting. So she, I don't even remember what she had it in, if she had them in, like, a basket or a bag or something, but she just sort of, you know, threw the bones out. And, I mean, I didn't have anything, like, pressing that I wanted to know, but just generally. And she told me very specifically that I would be moving within 6 months. And I was not planning to move anywhere, but I did move in 6 months.
You did.
And
that was the furthest thing from your mind.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of what makes people believe it. I mean, I always wondered how much of it is coincidence and how much of it is reality, you know, the thing you're detecting on this. So another one that was mentioned, Blue Fire Witch, who's doing the next show, mentioned she likes candle wax. I use candle drips, which is super easy to do.
You know, and I would almost think, and she can call in if she wants to, and give her two cents on that one. But I mean, I would almost wonder if you would do a candle drip sort of the same way you would do like a Turkish tea leaf read and kind of interpret what you're seeing by shapes or, you know, whatever. If something looks like an airplane, then you're going on a trip.
Yeah.
Go on.
Go ahead. Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, I've seen that. I think that there's some right because it's about patterns. I bet you could use a tea leaf book as you interpret the drips of candle wax.
Yeah, I would think that. So it is 8:30,
okay,
which means it's time for us to take a station ID break. So this is where we remind you that you're tuned into the Pagans Tonight Radio Network, and you are listening to After Hours at Witch School with your surprise guest co-hosts, Ed the Pagan mm-hmm. and Tracy Logan Wood. And so I loaded up a special song for the break. So, yeah. All I have to say is if you have children... or you like Scooby-Doo, you know this song. So there's our station ID, and here's our song, and we will be back right after this. The Hex Girls with Earth, Wind, Fire, and Air. And if you have kids or you're like Scooby-Doo, you probably know that song. So not to get too silly after that, but I really like that song, and I don't care if it's from a cartoon. But at any rate, we're going to move forward talking about divination. Ed has muted himself and is not coming back to the show.
No, I'm here. I didn't realize I'd pushed the button. But I was going to say, and you can find out more about divination. We have extensive tarot programs and other extensive classes at witchschool.com, your sponsor, Pagans Tonight. Mr. and Pagans Witch School, and if you use our, if you go to our main page, we have a code, CB, that will allow you to have a month free of service, so you can check out all our classes. Okay. And
there
you go. What I said the first.
So do you know what classes there are on the site?
Oh, sure. We have divination. We have runes. We have runes, which is another form of divination, probably very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who don't, those are basically Norse, Scandinavian, Viking.
Yeah, see, I never really connected with those. I have a set of runes. And I even have, like, a lovely bag to keep them in that Don made for me for my birthday. And I just never, ever could connect with those.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. For some reason, those just don't resonate with me. Somebody in the
never resonated with me either.
Somebody in the chat room said, ooh, they really wanted to learn the bones. It sounds so interesting. There is a book, and I cannot think of the name of the book, but it is, well, no, it's, yeah, it is a book. There was a review of it in one of the Llewellyn Magical Almanacs that talks about a specific book, and it's an older book that it came out in, like, in the 50s or 60s maybe, that talks specifically about how to do bone readings and stuff. But I think that's really one of those things that you have to learn from somebody who does them. Although, as I said earlier, Don Lewis does all kinds of readings, and I think he could actually do a reading from throwing some bones.
He'd probably do a reading from the bumps on your head. Wait, he is a phrenologist.
There was, I saw something recently on phrenology.
Uh-huh. It's a... So yeah, there's all sorts of different things. Yeah.
So I'm waiting for
you
to explain phrenology to the audience since you brought it up.
Okay. Phrenology is where they used to, the old, and I saw for a long time kind of condemned art because it had such a racist connotation, the shape and the bumps on your head. Further, it was about the shapes and the shapes of other parts of your body. But the idea that your body, the way it's formed, the way it's built, the way it's laid out, to tell you about your character, and I guess that's one of the things, of your future, of what you should be at. Hell on Wheels has a guy who's basically, they're really bringing that up inside Hell on Wheels. It's a television show on AMC, if you haven't seen it. It's about the building of a railroad. If you don't mind shows with high body counts, it's actually a pretty good show.
Hmm.
And they have a soldier there that basically explains why, you know, he is a phrenologist. Soldier who's a practicing phrenologist. And he gave actually testimony in court, but he didn't think somebody that they hanged could have been a murderer because of the fact the way his head was shaped. They didn't have the right shaped head for a murderer.
He didn't have a swollen temporal lobe to make them sort of crazy and unstable. Who knew?
So phrenology is really yeah, who knew? So that's it. So that's the idea of phrenology, that basically it is. And actually it's still got adherence to it. I did not know that. So I thought that was finally interesting to find that out. If you know anything about phrenology, you should share it with us. I don't think we have a course in phrenology online.
I don't know that, you know, having a phrenology course would be something that would be real popular. Not as popular as, say, tarot or runes.
But
that's just me.
Well, no, but it was once popular. It was actually once used in a court of law. So the idea of it, you know, and it was used, and that's why I think it's been kind of not so much used from now, because it was used in such an absolutely harsh way at times.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, pretty much aerialmancy. I forget which one that one is.
By reading vibrations of the air, the atmosphere.
Right. Okay. Sure.
But one of the things that I hate to say, the ancient Roman times, they used to take in, they would slaughter sheep.
Hmm.
Oh,
right. Entrails.
Entrails. They would read the entrails. And that would actually be part of a court of law.
See, I don't know. Some of that kind of stuff is just really messy. I don't want a reading that's, like, goopy and messy. Personally.
Okay. So entrail readings is not for you.
Not at all.
So anything has been used, right?
I would think so.
We've kind of showed that here.
Yes, Don says divination and dinner.
Oh, gross.
So when you put it that way, it sounds less gross.
Okay.
You know, because then you could get a reading and have lamb chops.
So, yeah, so you kill the animal, read the entrails. If the animal is healthy enough to, you know, not have something so terribly wrong with the entrails, you eat it. That makes sense. Man, I've just done so many different types of readings over the years. Dice reading, I forget what that's called. I used to read dice, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I know Don specializes in psychometry and clairvoyance. And I personally have had, you know, limited success with those.
Yeah, well, Don could call in. He could, you know, he could talk himself if he wanted to. He could probably fill us in on all the different, the most exotic types of readings.
Yes, I hinted at that earlier. He didn't call in,
so
maybe he doesn't want to call in.
Or he might not be capable of it. Because, you know, he goes on many exotic trips and journeys around all around the world.
So anyway, for those of you who don't know, psychometry is doing divination or reading by holding something that belongs to somebody. And then clairvoyance, obviously, is just sort of a straight-out psychic reading. I don't know. What is a good way to explain clairvoyance? I always think of it as just straight psychic ability.
Clairvoyance is images. Clairaudience is sound. So clairvoyance would be, is say you wanted to go see into your girlfriend's room to see if she was being honest with you, you'd be using clairvoyance. If you wanted to eavesdrop onto her conversation with her friends in her private room, that would be clairaudience. You know, I just remember Don's probably doing his chat room too, simultaneously.
So he called. He's here now.
There he is.
Hello.
Hi. You saved me from making a dirty joke. So what would you like to hear about divination?
It certainly is true that people have used divination in virtually any way you can imagine. Entrail reading was already mentioned, but, you know, people have read by the flight of birds. The Romans were actually very big for reading by the flight of birds. Animal sounds. Throwing the bones is very big in the southern part of Africa. And the bones that they throw, although they may include actual bones, actually are any number of different kinds of objects. And they would read them by how they fall and where they're positioned relative to one another. Say that again?
What would you say about candle drips?
Candles have been used in a number of kinds of readings. Some people use them for wax drippings, which are commonly dripped into water, which immediately will solidify them, and then you read the shape. They're also read by the flame, the shapes that the flame takes just while it's burning, Or you can take a card and pass over the flame so that the smoke will make markings on the card and then read that. So candles actually have a very wide range of divination practices. A slower kind of divination is to light several and do the divination by which one will burn out fastest, or the way that it burns. I've seen candles burn in some very strange ways. I remember one once that seemed to burn down one side only and not the other, which, had it been connected to a reading, would have been a very interesting answer.
Hmm.
One of the most unusual forms of divination I can remember, the champion for unusual forms of divination that I have known in my lifetime was Rosemary Fletcher. And Rosemary was a wonderful, wonderful psychic and a very interesting person. One of the things, the palmistry cards, and these were cards that you would read in a manner not dissimilar to tarot, but they all had different lines from the hand on them. And so you'd use your palmistry skills to read the cards without ever looking at a person's hand.
Hmm.
And that's got to be one of the more strange ideas I've seen.
Oh, what is your
We didn't even get to Robin Lacherco.
Wow, yeah.
Wow, the brain pulls these names right out of the air sometimes.
Wow, yeah. What
so
about Robin Lacherco?
We'll let Don explain it.
Okay, what?
Robin Lacherco.
Well, Robin is another psychic who had a huge range of different things that she read. She read bones long before it was fashionable. And she also read penises, which she only did at parties. And they were women's parties, so she was going off descriptions. She's one of two people I've known who did penis reading. The other one was more hands-on. And that was the artist who's known as Frater Mercurius, who illustrated Buckland's book, among other things. Robin was particularly known for dyeing her hair different colors. And it wasn't exactly a form of divination, but it was a form of energy work, because she believed that the different colors she would dye her hair would affect her energy. For example, if she felt she needed grounding, and every year on her birthday she would do this, because she felt she needed extra grounding at that time, she would dye her hair black. If she wanted more energy, she would dye it red and so forth. And she kept her hair very, very short so that she could do this every few days without a problem. And you'd go to a psychic fair, and if it was a three-day fair, she might show up with three different colors of hair, depending what was going on, one on each of the different days.
Hmm.
Although she eventually stopped that and grew her hair out long, but this was back in the 80s and early 90s. And her set of bones, a traditional set of bones includes things like little toys, little figurines, little game pieces, actual bones, etc., all put together, and you have the person throw them or you throw them, and you read them by where they land. And she was at one point working on a set of bones that literally were made from bones, and she would send them from dinners and take them home and clean them and then paint them using nail polish to make a very high durability coating so that she could throw them. And she was doing beautiful artwork with it. Let's see, what other weird... you can divine by the flight of arrows.
What is your favorite form of divination? Do you have a favorite one of your own?
I'm afraid my favorite would probably be plain old clairvoyance.
Okay.
Not one of the really colorful things, although there certainly have been some very colorful things.
So I have to ask you this, just because I cannot resist, before we move on from Robin Lacherco.
Okay.
So Blue Fire Witch asks in the chat, or says in the chat room, I was told you can tell some things about a man based on the curve of his manhood.
I would imagine that would be true. I don't remember anything from the method that Robin used, however. I don't think I don't know that I actually knew the details. I just knew that she did do women's parties, where she would do readings based on the descriptions of the ladies' boyfriends.
I think it would be quite interesting to get Robin Lachirko together with Cynthia Plastercaster.
Yes, it would.
So for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, that is the chick who supposedly made all kinds of plaster casts of all the rock and roll guys, too. But
yes,
she had post-life reading because most of them are dead. But anyway, moving on, you were going to say?
I knew more about the system that Mercurius used because I was actually going to publish it at one time in what would have been the fifth issue of The Wheel of Hecate, which is the only reason I know about it at all. And that was going to be the sex and sexuality issue. But I think that he would have considered a strong curve to probably be indicative of a Martian penis. He had them all separated according to planets.
Wow, okay.
So there you go.
Somebody in the chat room says, this was not what I expected to hear tonight at all. So I asked if they were disappointed, and they said never.
You never know what you'll hear here. Those
yeah,
interesting
we go
things
to some
can
strange
happen.
Places.
Well, it's been a long time since the three of us have been on the air at the same time. So this is why we're not often on the air. You also, well, you know, and Don used to be known as the psychic that other psychics went to. Still probably is true. But let me offer really quick this one thing. Don, really quick. You have just completed all of the first degree lessons on video. That's going to be put up on Wishful. How's that coming along?
It's pretty much finished. I assume there probably are a couple of the higher numbered ones that still have to be uploaded, but they're done. Mm-hmm. The thing is ready. Everybody who's waited for it can buy it now.
All right.
It will actually be available for sale. I'm assuming it will be probably within the next. But at the school, I believe it's already up.
Okay. I haven't heard anyone mention much about it, so I was curious.
I haven't either, but my understanding is that it is actually up.
Okay.
That's cool.
And what left information is that? Oh, sorry, go ahead, Tracy.
No, I was just going to ask Don what he had to say about any of the divination class stuff on Witch School.
There are a lot of classes that you can take on Witch School about divination, and if you're in the main body of the degree material, the larger portion of second degree is all divination and kinds and connected to it, because you know that. There's no such thing as just a set of divination. They all tie into other things as well. And if you understand a kind of divination, chances are you also understand the wider philosophy that it's connected to. But in second degree, we talk about everything from magical calendars to numerology to how to divine through alphabets, the Chinese Bagua. And many other interesting forms of divination. So those are all there within a larger course at the school, as well as many others that are their own standard course.
Cool. So where are we going next, Mr. Hubbard?
Well, we're getting close to the end of the show, but I guess we were talking about divination. Well, you're also still doing your chat room, right, Don? Is that because we probably dragged you out of that?
I think that was both chat rooms.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, I don't know. I mean, we did divination. Is there any divinations there? Let's talk about one last idea of divination. And 20 years ago, we talked about, and maybe I can get your opinion on this, Don. It's basic prophecy. like Nostradamus stuff, like looking into peering bowls, scrying. It's probably this time of year, you're going to hear a lot of people talk about crystal balls and scrying because we're heading into the Halloween season. Can you talk about that one? Like, isn't that close to clairvoyance, which is one of your favorites?
Yes, it absolutely is. And scrying is one of the oldest forms of divination. It's also one of the simplest. And scrying is basically where you stare at something in a light trance. One of the classic things is a bowl of water. The use of a crystal ball is another example. Some people use a candle. At one time, it was the custom that there would be two different people, one person actually doing the scrying and the second person interpreting. And children were often used for that purpose. For example, in ancient Egypt, there was a form of divination where a child would stare into a bowl of water, tell what it was seeing, and an adult would then interpret from that. I believe Nostradamus did that sort of scrying as well as John Dee. And John Dee worked with Edward Kelly, who brought through the messages that Dee interpreted. So there's a very long history to scrying. One of the things that's very fashionable in the Wiccan world is the black scrying mirror. And the black scrying mirror, actually, I believe, is of Aztec provenance. And the way that it came into European magic, I believe, is through Dr. Dee's shoestone. And the shoestone actually was an Aztec mirror made of obsidian, which he used for scrying. And the Aztecs were very big on scrying through mirrors, usually black mirrors. In fact, one of their primary deities, Tezcatlipoca, his name basically means a black scrying mirror.
So if somebody were to go to a psychic fair, what are the most popular types of divination they would see at a psychic fair?
Well, tarot is very popular. Palmistry is still very popular. Occasionally you'll run into tea leaf readers, even still today. And that's an interesting form of reading we didn't mention earlier, coffee reading. And reading by coffee grounds is a very old traditional thing, but there's also a famous psychic in Chicago who would read by the way the cream would swirl into the coffee when it was poured in. So there are a lot of things one can do with that. Other things that you would be likely to see at a psychic fair, you might see people doing auras or energy work. You might see past life readings. And clairvoyance would also almost certainly be there. I would say clairvoyance and tarot would be the main things you would see.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting because I would even say that energy work is kind of a newer thing that people are doing at psychic fairs.
It's more recent because it's not really a form of divination. And if you were to go back to, say, the 70s and the 80s, you would not as seen that as often, although you did occasionally. It was much less common then. Another really interesting form of psychic reading I've only just thought of. I used to work for the J&M Psychic Fair Circuit, and long before I worked there, there was a reader who was very much remembered, and it was the doll lady. And she was described to me, I never met the lady, but apparently she had a table full of collector dolls of every description, dolls that represented different countries or that just had different colors or different appearances or feelings, and fairy tale dolls, and you name it, she had it. And she would ask people to pick out the several dolls that most appealed to them. And she had a special order she would do it in, and then she would read them by which dolls they had chosen in which order. I have to say that's one of the more original ones I can think of.
That's kind of nifty.
Really,
what was that?
Yeah, it's very
stone,
much like
right, the stone lady.
Yes, it's very much like the stone lady.
And if somebody wants to get a reading from you, Don, how can they get that? Because we've just come to the end of our time.
They can contact witchwillstore.com, or they can contact me directly at donlewishp@aol.com.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us, Don.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
So that concludes our surprise taken over of After Hours at Witch School, and we're going to leave you with one of my favorite fairy songs by Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and coming up next is Hem of the Hellas, and they will be doing some psychic readings, and they will be talking about, what will they be talking about, because Tracy missed her mark on her page. They will be talking about the mystery cult. We'll be talking about mystery cults and doing live tarot readings. So, thank you for tuning in. And blessed be.
And blessed be. And there we go.
As she walked alone, it grew so dark she couldn't see the night. She thought she heard a voice so pure, with a wail and a moan and a crying sure. And in front of her, from behind the trees, came a shadow made of light. And the shadow said,
"Oh, darling, don't you go, where the water don't flow and the winds do blow, where the trees stand tall and the mushrooms grow in a perfect circle ring. Oh, darling, don't you know, when you wanna dance, you can hear them sing, and your feet will fly to the magic wood, and you'll never be seen again."
Well, the people came and they danced around, and the men and lads bowed up and down. As the feet got happy, they left the ground, she floated in the air. All the fiddlers fiddled and the pipers played, she danced in the middle of a frightful play. On a tree branch high, and fell the earth in fear. And the shadow said,
"Oh, darling, don't you go, when the water don't flow, when the winds do blow, when the trees stand tall, and the mushrooms grow in a perfect circle ring. Oh, darling, don't you know, when you wanna dance, you can hear them sing, and your feet will fly to the magic wood, and then you'll never be seen again."
Rain pouring down, when a sound or a sigh there was stole around. She ran through the forest like a crazy hound, like the devil chasing her. She burst in the house, fell into bed. The look on her face was a frightful dread. And the trembling lips, my sister stared in a voice that barely stirred. She said,
"Oh, darling, don't you go, where the water don't flow and the winds do blow, where the trees stand tall and the mushrooms grow in a perfect circle ring. Oh, darling, don't you know, when you wanna dance, you can hear them sing, and your feet will fly to the magic wood, till you'll never be seen again.
Oh, darling, don't you go, when the water don't flow, and the winds do blow, the trees stand tall, and the mushrooms grow in a perfect circle ring. Oh, darling, don't you know, when you wanna dance, don't you know, don't you know, don't you know, you'll never be seen again. You'll never be seen again."
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Hymns of Hellas. This is Blue Fire Witch, and with me, as always, is Adam. Hello, Adam. Are you with us?
I am. Hello, everybody. How are you tonight?
Super excited. This is going to be a great show.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so we've got a couple things going on tonight. First of all, tonight's deity, we actually have two, Demeter and Persephone. The reason is that this is September, and it is fall, and it is the traditional time for the Eleusinian Mysteries. I always say that wrong. So we're going to be talking about that tonight, but first up, after we do our prayers, we're going to be doing some free tarot readings, and we've gotten a lot of requests. I mean, a lot.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to be trying as much as possible to be doing them in order that I received them, okay? So if I told you that you'd get a reading on air, don't worry. I'm going to do my best to to get yours. And if I forget you, please message me either on Facebook or in the Blog Talk Radio chat, which is open right now. So and I will try as much as I can, obviously up until the end of the show, to get everybody's in. We also do want to talk about our topic tonight too, though. So at some point I'm going to have to cut those readings off. But I'm going to be doing as many as I possibly can within this show. And who knows, if you guys like this and becomes so popular, then we're going to continue to do this because we're trying to do things that you guys are interested in. So, and it really looks like a lot of people are interested in doing this. We want to start off tonight with the prayers and stuff, right? Did you want to do the prayers tonight, Adam, or do you want me to do it?
If you have something, go ahead.
Okay, so since tonight is the night that we're going to be talking about Demeter and Persephone and essentially the Eleusinian Mysteries, I thought that I would talk. I would recite the Homeric hymn, which has a lot to do with that, just to set the tone for tonight. So, and it's a little bit long, so I apologize. I begin to sing of Demeter, the holy goddess of beautiful hair, and her daughter Persephone too. The one with the delicate ankles whom Hades seized, she was given away by Zeus, the Lord Thunderer, the one who sees far and wide. Demeter did not take part in this. She of the golden double axe who glories in the harvest. She, Persephone, was having a good time, along with the daughters of Okeanos, who wear their girdles slung low. She was picking flowers, roses, crocuses, and beautiful violets up and down the soft meadow. Iris blossoms, too, she picked, and hyacinth, and the narcissus, which was grown as a lure for the flower-faced girl. By Gaia, all according to the plans of Zeus, she was doing a favor for the one who received many guests, who's Hades. The narcissus was a wonderful thing in its splendor. To look at it gives us the sense of holy awe to the immortal gods as well as mortal humans. It has 100 heads growing up from the root up, and its sweet fragrance spread over the wide skies up above, and the earth below smiled back in all its radiance, and so did the churning mass of the salty sea. Persephone was filled with a sense of wonder, and she reached out with both hands to take the pretty plaything, and the earth full of roads, leading every which way, opened up under her. And it happened on the plain of Nysa. And there it was, the Lord, who receives many guests, who is Hades, made his lunge, and he was riding on a chariot drawn by immortal horses, the son of Cronus, the one known by many names. He seized her against her will and put her on a golden chariot, and drove away as she wept. She cried with a piercing voice, calling upon her father, the son of Cronus, and the highest and the best. But not of the immortal ones or of the human mortals heard her voice, not even the olive trees which bear their splendid harvest, except for the daughter of Perseus, who is Hecate, the one who keeps in mind of the vigor of nature. She heard it from her cave with the splendid headband, Hecate, and the Lord Helios heard it too, the magnificent son of Hyperion. And they heard the daughter calling upon her father, the son of Cronos. But he, all by himself, was seated far from the gods inside a temple, a precinct of many prayers. And he was receiving beautiful sacrificial rites from mortal humans. And she was being taken against her will at the behest of Zeus by her father's brother, the one who receives many guests, the son of Cronos, the one with many names, on a chariot drawn by immortal horses, so long as the earth and the star-filled sky there were still within the goddess's view. Also the fish-swarming sea, along with its current and the rays of the sun, she had hope that she would yet see her dear mother and that special group, the immortal gods. For that long a time, her great news was soothed by hope. Distressed as she was, the peaks of the mountains resounded, and did the depths of the sea with her immortal voice. The Lady Mother Demeter heard her. And a sharp echo seized her heart. that means pain. The headband on her hair was tore off with her own immortal hands, and she threw a dark cloak over her shoulders. And she sped off like a bird, soaring over land and sea, looking and looking. But no one was willing to tell her the truth. Not one of the gods, not one of the mortal humans, not one of the birds, messengers of the truth. Thereafter, for 9 days, did the Lady Demeter wander all over the earth, holding torches ablaze in her hands. Not once did she take of the ambrosia and nectar sweet to drink in her grief. Nor did she bathe of her skin in water. But when the 10th night drew upon her, Hecate came to her, holding a light ablaze in her hands. She came with a message and spoke up, saying to her, Lady Demeter, bringer of Horae, giver of splendid gifts, which one of the gods who dwell in the sky, or which of the mortal humans seized Persephone and brought you to your grief? I heard the sounds, but I did not see with my eyes who it was. So I quickly came to tell you everything without error. So spoke Hecate. But she was not answered by Demeter with the beautiful hair. Instead, Demeter joined her and quickly set out with her, holding torches ablaze in their hands. They came to Helios, the seeing eye of gods and men. They stood in front of his chariot team. Resplendent goddess asked this question. Helios, show me respect, god to goddess, if ever I have pleased your heart in word or deed. Those piercing cry I heard resounding through boundless ether. As if she were being forced, I did not see this with my own eyes. I turned to you as one who rages over the earth and sea. As you look down upon the bright ether with your sunbeams, please tell me without error if you've seen my child, and then go, and who has taken her by force against her will and then gone away. Tell me which one of the gods or mortal humans did it. So she spoke, and the son of Hyperion, who is Helios, answered her with these words, daughter of Rhea with beautiful hair, Queen Demeter, you shall know the answer, for I greatly respect you and feel sorry for you as you grieve over your child, the one with the delicate ankles. No one else amongst all the immortals is responsible except for the cloud gatherer Zeus himself, who gave her to Hades as his beautiful wife. So he gave her to his own brother, and Hades, heading for the misty realms of darkness, seized her as he drove his chariot, and she screamed out loud, but I urge you, goddess, stop your loud cry of lamentation. You should not have anger without bounds. It is all in vain. It is not unseemly to have, of all the immortals, such a son-in-law as Hades, the one who makes... Going back to the very beginning, when the three-way divination of inheritance was made, he dwells with those whose king is destined the lot to be. So saying, he shouted this to his horses, and they responded to his command as they swiftly drew the speeding chariot like long-winged birds. And she, Demeter, was visited by grief that was even more terrible than before. It makes you think of the hounds of Hades. In her anger at the one who is known for his dark clothes, the son of Cronos, Hades, she shunned the company of the gods and lofty Olympus. She went away and visited the cities of humans with all their fertile land holdings, shading over her appearance for a long time, and not one of men looking at her could recognize her, not one of women either, who were accustomed to wear their girdles low slung, until one day when she came to the house of the bright-minded Kelios, who was the time ruler of Eleusis, fragrant with incense. She sat down near the road and sad in her grievous heart. At the well-called Parthenon, where the people of Polis used to draw water, that's the city. She sat in the shade and under the thick growth of the olive trees, looking like an old woman who had lived many years and who was deprived of childbirth and gave the gifts of Aphrodite, lover of garlands in the hair. She was like those nursemaids who belong to kings, administrators of the Themistites, who are guardians of children in echoing places. Basically, she looked like an old maid. She was seen by the daughters of Kelios, the sons of Eleusinios, who were coming to get water, easy to draw, from the well, in order to carry it in bronze water jars to the home of their father, where there were four of them, looking like goddesses with their bloom of adolescence. And this is where Demeter had taught the people of Eleusis the art of farming and harvest. And this is why Eleusis is the center of the festival for Demeter and Persephone. I'm not going to read the entire prayer to you because it's several pages longer, but just to give you an idea, this is why the center of their worship was where it was, because this is where Demeter ended up resting in her kind of angst over what happened with her daughter. She didn't get a choice, you know, but some believe that Persephone eventually did choose to be the wife of Hades, and that she realized it was a good move for her, even though it wasn't really her choice to begin with. Some people frown about that. I know it's not very feminist, but it's still good mythos if you understand the disconnect between the gods and the humans. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I definitely do.
So that's essentially, after we do our free readings tonight, we're going to get back to talking about the mystery rites. This is the time of year that they're celebrated in essentially what is now called the month of December, but around the harvest time, because of this is the time of year when Demeter had taught the basically how to harvest the fields and farm for crops, and helped people greatly in learning how to cultivate food for themselves instead of just foraging. Because originally humans were just foragers. They didn't farm. You know, they didn't grow their own things.
Mm-hmm.
They foraged. And so this is a step up in civilization, learning how to farm and create your own your own food instead of having to forage and just hope to find what you can. So anyway, there are several people that asked for readings tonight, so I'm going to try to get to as many of them as humanly possible. A lot of these people have sent me messages because they didn't want to or didn't know really how to call in. Some of these people may have never, ever listened to the show before. So welcome to the Hymns of Hellas. And
yeah, welcome.
I'm really kind of excited about getting some new listeners on and stuff like that. Seems to have a good impact on the show. For those of you who are not familiar with the deck that I'm using, I'm using the Hermetic Tarot, which is one of my favorite decks to use. It's a really good deck. It's given me a lot of good readings. And, you know, that's saying a lot. There's not every deck calls to me, but this one really has, and I hold to it really well because I've never had a bad reading with it. So before I get started, I just want to say, you know, for all intents and purposes, this is for entertainment only. I am not 100% correct. I'm never going to be 100% correct. So please, you can, you know, use this as part of your decision-making, but make sure that your decisions are logical and healthy, and make sure that you realize that I'm not always going to be right, but I'm going to do my best for you. And I'm always going to be honest with you what I see in the cards.
This is exciting.
Yes. And Adam, I think you can, I'm giving you a couple of readings. Do you think I'm pretty decent?
I think you give it, was it one or two readings? I don't know. But yeah, definitely. They were awesome. And you hit the nail on the head with a lot of stuff. And you definitely gave some great advice. And it was a great experience.
Okay, so this first reading is going to be for Audra J. I'm going to just do a three-card reading. She didn't have a specific question to ask, but I'm going to do a three-card reading just to see what we saw, what we see there, and what kind of lies ahead for her in her general future, okay? And There's lots of different types of readings that you can do. The reason I'm doing three-card readings tonight, there's a few reasons. First of all, there's a lot of readings I'm going to do, so this is a very easy reading to do. But also, it's something that everybody can understand. You know, the three cards essentially deal with what I call, like, near past, present, and near future. You know, and you could also do a five-card version of this, too, where you lay off another past card. So you've got, you know, distant past and distant future as well. But for reasons of just, you know, expedience and getting as many readings in as I can today, I'm going to be doing the three-card readings unless somebody has, another request and we have time. I might do something else, but for the most part, this is the type of reading that I'm going to be doing. So I got some interesting cards here. And I think, you know, the placement of the cards is interesting as well. Like I said, I'm doing a three-card reading, and the first card in the three-card reading is the Fool. So that's kind of interesting because what it tells me is that very recently in your life, you have started to embark on something new. Something new has happened to you. Something, whether it's a new job, I don't really get that it's a new job type thing. I don't think that that's what it is. I think that it's a new concept for you. It's something not tangible, but something that it's a new idea, a new perspective. There's some sort of new perspective that you have going on, and I really think that's what it is. It's kind of like, you have this world that you thought was all set, and then all of a sudden you look to the right, and there's another world, and it's something that's opening up for you. That's really kind of what I'm seeing for this reading. Is you've got kind of some kind of new perspective or new, I don't want to say past, but a new way of looking at things. That's what's really kind of coming to me, is a new way of looking at things. That is making you looking at things in a different way and making you have new thoughts, new actions. It's kind of, you know, it's like the snowball at the top of the hill. You know, when you push it down the hill and it picks up all these other things, you know, this new way of looking at things is causing other things to change as well. And you're not really sure what yet because this is new for you. This is recent. And so with that, I've got... The second card in your reading is the Moon card. And I just want you to be careful about this card because we don't want to get too, I guess you could say, you need to stay grounded, okay? There's a lot of new things that are happening to you, but you want to make sure that you stay grounded. You want to make sure that you know, you realize that everything that you do, everything that you plan on doing is not necessarily, you know, that there's going to be good things and bad things about this, essentially. And that you wanted to make sure that you want to make sure that the things that you do are well-grounded and that they're things that are not harmful to you. And that's, you know, that's my main thing. But you also want to also make sure that you are following your gut. So it's a double-edged sword. You know, you have to make sure that you are, that you're doing what calls to you, but also you want to make sure that you're being healthy and secure and that you're not trusting the wrong people. That's one aspect that I want to make sure that you're careful of. But also, you know, this kind of gives an illusion of something spiritual as well. But like I said, don't open every door that you see. You want to make sure that before you open a door that you check it out, that you're doing the things safely and that you're not trying to take on too much. And also to make sure that you're not trusting the wrong people, that also kind of comes forward for me. So, you know, those are all things to remember, that when you see it, when you have a new perspective or something new that's open to you, whether it's a new hobby or just a new way of looking at things. You also want to make sure that other people that are involved in that aren't able to hurt you or take advantage of you. So the third card, which is the near future card, shows kind of, how do I put this? It's the Nine of Wands, okay? And that's not necessarily a bad card, but it's not a great card either. It says that you're working towards a goal, but this goal is essentially taking longer for you than you ever thought that it would. Now, with this, you can, you know, you will reach your goal, but it's going to take longer than what you expected. So whether this, you know, this is a new perspective, like I said, it might refer to knowledge or something like that, but whatever it is that you're reading, you're studying, you're doing, your end game goal is going to take a lot of work. And it may seem that it's right there around the corner, but it's not necessarily around the corner. That's kind of what I'm getting so far. So I hope that that's a good reading for you, that it makes sense for you. I'm not sure if you're listening live or if you're in the chat room or, you know, or something like that, but, you know, or if you're listening in archives, because you can do that too. But that is that's the reading that I have for you. That's what comes forward for me. So I hope that makes sense for you. So I'm going to move on to the next person because we have quite a few other people who have called or texted to ask for readings. So let me get on to the next one. The next one would be Kelly C. Now, we have two Kellys, okay? We have a Kelly S and a Kelly C. This is a Kelly C. So I'm just shuffling the cards. I'm trying to get the old energy out as I focus on the new energy for Kelly and what she's asking about. Now, Kelly, I'm going to talk about this while I'm shuffling too because it helps put the energy into the card. Kelly's kind of got a two-phase thing. She wants to know if she's on the right path, but she also wants to know if the person whose hand she's holding is the right person that she's supposed to be with. And I don't sugarcoat things, so I hope you're not mad at me when I'm done with my reading. I don't, you know. It's never a good thing, you know. I've had people come up to me and get readings for me, and I'm like, the cards tell me that you need to lose weight. You know, I'm like, you know, that's, you know, I'm gonna relay that message. And it's one of the reasons why I'm never charged for a reading. And I never really planned to start for two reasons. First of all, when people pay for something, they expect results. I can't always, because this is an art that has a lot to do with chaos, I cannot always expect that the cards are going to deliver what you want to hear. A lot of times they're going to say stuff that you might not ever understand at first, but then you walk out of there, you know, and like a month later you're like, oh, it makes sense. You know, that's happened to me so many times. That's why it's so important if you do readings for yourself or for other people that you keep some sort of record of them, because you want to go back, you know, months later and play that reading or look at your journal and be like, man, the cards knew it and I didn't know what it meant, but I know what it means now. You know, it happens so much. Okay, so here we are with the next reading. We're going to do another three card. And, you know, there's a lot to be said about different readings and what they come up with for people. And I'm always kind of amazed how the cards manage to really, you know, kind of push it forward and you know, kind of push the envelope with your patience sometimes. But also to so that you understand, you know, what they mean. You know, sometimes they're quite straightforward, sometimes they're not. But, you know, a lot of times you can tell immediately what the cards are talking about with a certain subject. This one, I'm getting so many, like, Major Arcana cards tonight. It's really kind of cool. So, once again, I did a three-card spread. And the first card in the three-card spread is the Three of Swords, which, love speaking, not a good card to have. And I got to tell you that here's a few things that I know, right? When somebody's asking about the one they're with, it means that something's already rotten and dead dark. You know? They wouldn't be asking if everything was hunky-dory, right? They
good
wouldn't. Because, you know, why would you need advice or someone else, so someone else's opinion on your love life if everything else was great? You know? You wouldn't. You'd be like, everything's great. Leave me alone. You know? Don't rock the boat. But this isn't the case here. And that's kind of what I saw, is that in the relationship that you're in right now, there is a lot of arguing. There's button heads. There's power struggle. I see two very forceful people, two very headstrong people who are used to getting things their own way and are not seeing eye to eye on many different things. And there's several different levels to this. There's miscommunication, but there's also, I think, some bad baggage that's being brought in from both sides of the relationship, that you both have these expectations for each other that aren't being communicated well, and they aren't being, you know, and there's a lot of hurtful things that are being said, and there's a lot of distrust, and there might have already been some distrusting, some betrayals that are going on, because this is kind of the card of the broken heart, so to speak. With the Hermetic Tarot, the way that they do this on the tarot cards is they call it the Lord of Sorrow. But really, I call it the card of broken hearts. Already you kind of know that this ship is sinking, you know. And what do? Do you get a bucket and try to fix it, or do you bail? You know, that's your choice, essentially. Now, at the same time, I get the feeling that there's been some investment in this relationship, you know. Whether it's a new thing or not, I don't believe that this goes without breaking some ties, that there's some bridges to be burned or some ties to be broken if this relationship does pass. And I really, like I said, I see it as a sinking ship. And, you know, people get panicky when their ship starts to sink, but that's kind of what I'm seeing here. The second card is the Temperance card, and that essentially means you need to have patience and really kind of wait for what's coming to you, but also have, you know, you need to think about things before you do them, right? And that's a hard thing for anyone to do, but it's really something that, you know, when I see the Temperance card, and the Temperance card is actually called the Daughter of Reconcilers. So if you're talking about reconciliation, if you want to keep this relationship going, you're going to have to take it down a notch on the ego. And same with this other person, too. They need to kick it down a notch on the ego. Because one thing that we do in relationships is that we externalize everything. And we don't talk about our own feelings. We talk about what the other person is doing. And so if you really want to save the relationship, you want to, instead of saying, you're doing this, you're doing that, you want to say, when you do this, it makes me feel like this. You know, when you say those things to me, it really hurts my feelings. You know, when you go do this thing, it makes me feel alone and betrayed. You know, and you need to talk about your own feelings. And that's kind of where I see the if you try to save the relationship. Ultimately, though, I got to tell you that I don't think the chances of this relationship surviving are very good. And like I said, this is something that you know more than I do, okay? I'm just a stranger here relaying information that I see on cards, okay? Your next card essentially is a strength card. In the Hermetic deck, they call it fortitude, but it's essentially the strength card, okay? And what it is this card talks about the strength to move forward, but also fortitude, again, is that ego coming back, you know? So you need to, if you want to save this relationship, I'm seeing a lot of sense here that you need to push down the emotions, the ego. You need to let go of that baggage that you've got going on, because there is baggage involved, I think, on both sides. And you need to start fresh with this person if it is what you want to do, okay? Otherwise, you know, have patience, cut it off and start something new, you know? But you need to, if you want to save this relationship, you need to cut it down on the ego and start talking about your feelings and talking about how each other makes you feel, and also be conscious of their feelings as well and how the things that you say to them make them feel. And I think that's kind of the key to any good relationship. But that's what I get so far, you know. And that's, I think, when it comes to readings, like I said, I'm not perfect, but I can definitely tell that, you know, this relationship is causing some problems right now. There's a lot of quarreling, and that's what I would do. If you want to save the relationship, you've got to move forward, but move forward with a matter where you're dropping some of that baggage, some of that ego, and going forward in a partnership matter, not as two people who happen to share their lives together, but as you know, a couple that nurtures each other's feelings and egos instead of just nurturing your own. So that is my reading for Kelly C. The next reading, we're going to take a quick commercial break first, and then we can come back, and I'll do the rest of the readings that I have for the show, and then we'll talk a little bit about the mystery rites as well. So stick around. We're going to be right back, and we will do a little bit more for you guys with the readings, and then we'll move on. That song doesn't seem to be working. We tried
what song?
Huh?
What song?
Yeah, did you hear the song? I don't hear it.
I don't hear it either.
Yeah. Okay, let
I
me try
I guess we just have to sing.
No. Let me see if I can play a different song or get something, because apparently that song is not working. You hear that?
Technical difficulty.
Yeah.
Nope.
There seems to be some Blog Talk Radio technical difficulties. I wonder if we've even been on air. Because there hasn't been any... There hasn't been any activity in the chat room either. So I don't know if Blog Talk Radio crashed or what's going on. I apologize for those people who are listening to us talking about Blog Talk Radio. Let's see if I can. Okay, the page has come back up now. So we'll see.
Oh, yeah, someone's saying they can hear.
Let me see if I can get everything reloaded, and we will. We'll work on getting another song here, one that I haven't tried before, so that we can see if it's working well. Okay. There we go. All right, we'll be back. Bye. Sorry about our little technical difficulties, but we're here. I'm going to do a few more readings. I've got a couple people more lined up, okay? I'm going to try to pick up the pace a little bit because we're getting towards the end of the show and we still want to talk about mystery traditions and things like that. So if I don't get to your reading tonight, please, you know, tune into the next show and we'll do more readings then. This seems to be a pretty popular thing. There's been lots of people commenting and asking for readings. So, you know, I want to thank you guys for all your support and everything like that, too. It's been pretty cool. So, anyway, this next reading is for Kelly S. I'm going to do one really quick for you, and then we will talk about that reading real quick. And I see something interesting. Okay.
What?
So, this reading is for Kelly S., and I see this is a very interesting first card. I did three cards again, and the first card is the Six of Wands, and it's kind of it's a good card. It shows that there's been some real trouble in the past, and that something that you had that was really bad in the past, you're starting to get over that. And I see that, I think it's something emotional really, but it's also got kind of physical implements into it. But so there's some sort of, you know, kind of something that you've gotten over, something that you personally have triumphed over. It has to do, I've got your second card that's in the reading is the Princess of Wands. And when you get a card that's a court card like that, it's almost always a person. Usually a young woman, like a, you know, or a young lady, a young girl. I'm going to say it's probably a girl. Daughter? I'm getting daughter. I really am. Something that, you know, like I said, emotional and physical going on there. But at the same time, I see recovery from that. You know, that there's a kind of a slow-going recovery period for that, some recognition for what's gone on before. And with that recovery and kind of, I guess you could say, accomplishment over that time, the last card that I have for you is the Fool, which is actually a good thing. That's new beginnings. It doesn't necessarily mean bad thing, but that essentially there's going to be new doors open for you in that aspect. Something good will happen. Now, for those of you who are calling in, if you want to get on the air, you want to make sure that you press 1 to speak to the host. I see a bunch of people holding on, but essentially, if you want to get on the air and talk to me, you want to make sure to press 1 to speak to the host. So that's Kelly S.'s reading. I hope that makes sense to you, Kelly. I think it looks like there's a recovery period or something good that's going to be coming, either already has come or is coming in the near future for a young woman in your life. Whether it's you know, a sense of emotional accomplishment or physical healing, but there's something that's got kind of both, you know, kind of like spiritual and material aspects to it. So that's the reading that I got. So I'm going to move right on. I have an important one that I wanted to do and get in today from a woman named Tammy. And I'm looking at Tammy's last name right now. Bear with me. Tammy B. Okay, so Tammy B. had asked me about someone's whereabouts. And so I wanted to think and kind of put my energy into the cards and ask the cards if we have any kind of clue as to where the whereabouts of this person whose name is Dan. I'm not going to use her last name on the air. If I can get any kind of clue for that. And then she also wanted to see kind of a life reading. So kind of a dual thing, but I'm going to try to do it as fast as I can. So the three cards that I get, like I said, I'm getting a lot of our major arcana cards. I got the Hierophant, and then I got the Six of Wands, and I got the Star. And neither of these cards really tell me that this person is, you know, no longer with us, per se. But that essentially it looks like the person has taken a new path in their life. Yep. You know, you've got the Hierophant, which is kind of like a spiritual awakening card, then the Six of Wands, which came up in the last reading, too, and like I said, it's kind of a card of victory or change, but good change, kind of getting over something, and then we've got the Star, which is kind of a card of realization. It's a card of attainment, and so I don't get the feeling as much, you know, as I would think that I would if this person was no longer with us. I don't get that. but that the person isn't the same person anymore. But there's been radical change. Radical change.
And any idea what kind of change?
It's not really very clear to me. But essentially, you know, the last card that I have is a card of good health, essentially. That a card of obtaining unselfish truths, spiritual truths. And so I see, you know, a card of victory and two cards of spirituality. And I wonder if, you know, it doesn't really tell me right up front that this person is, like, dead or something. It doesn't do that. It's just telling me that they're radically different. And that's all I can tell you. I wish that I had something more concise than that. But all I can tell you is that they're radically different. So, and she wanted me to do three for her as well. And so, the three for her is not as bright. Maybe these are reversed, but the three for her, I've got the Tower, the Seven of Pentacles, and the Devil. And, you know, for those of you who are like, oh, I hate the Devil card. The Devil card has nothing to do with paganism. Think of the Devil card as a card of bondage, as a card of, it doesn't have to be, you know, like the Christian concept of the devil, just a concept of bondage and of not being able to break free from something. So for her reading, to do hers, I've gotten the Tower, which is a card of essentially something that you built and created has been torn down. And you don't have to necessarily think of that as a bad thing, but there's been some destruction. Something has fallen. Something has crumbled, fallen apart. And then in your present, I show the Seven of Pentacles, which isn't a bad card at all. The Seven of Pentacles is a card that, you know, well, I guess the way that you look at it, if you put it together with the Tower, it could mean that something that you built was torn down before it was finished. You know, that you didn't get to succeed on what you wanted to, or that there was some sort of deception in what you thought you were building. And then with the Devil card, like I said, the Devil card is kind of a card of being bound, a card that says that whatever you're in, you can't break free from. And so if it has to do with this person, for example, it could be that you need closure that you're not able to get because there is, you know, all this unanswered, all these unanswered questions for you. So that may be it. It's not really a very good reading, and I'm sorry that I have to give you such bad news, but it really doesn't sound good to me. And I, you know, if you're struggling with this and you're struggling with something like this where you feel trapped, I'm always the type of person that says, go seek some counseling. Go talk to somebody about it, you know, because this is bad stuff. You know, I see there's negative energy here. And I would say that, you know, I just get this feeling of deception. Like you don't have all the answers, but there's some big answer that you're missing. And that because of that, you're kind of trapped where you are. So I apologize for that. But, you know, and I'm not able to give you many answers, unfortunately. But, you know, I would also say to you that you don't need to feel trapped, that you don't need to feel abandoned. You know, that you know, the answers will come to you eventually, but they just might not come to you in the time that you want. And that's, I'm sorry that I can't give you a better answer than that. I hate giving people bad news, but it's not very good news. So let me see if there's anybody else that I need to give a reading to. If I did not get to you, I apologize. And I, you know, for some people, I think I can probably do a reading after the show and things like that. But since we're getting to the end of the show, we're probably going to go over just a little bit. We can do that. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the mysteries tonight. We don't have much time left. I spent most of the show doing reading, so I apologize for that. It took a little bit longer than what I expected.
We need more time.
I know. But, you know, we always have the option of continuing this discussion until next week, for those of you who want to do the mysteries. And maybe that might be a better thing to do, since we really wouldn't give the mysteries their just time to just talk mm-hmm. about them now, you know. Next week we're going to do a show on essentially the Affordable Care Act, because there's going to be some changes that are coming up and everything like that. But let's do next show, let's do a continuation, and we'll do the mysteries next show. And I'll do three readings, and that's all I'll do next show for those people who I didn't get to this time. There's a few people that I can message and do private readings that way, and I'll get to you guys after the show. I thank you for everybody who called in and did readings. If I didn't get you on air, I apologize, but I will message you and give you the ones that I told you that I would give you a reading. I will get to you after the show, and I'll message you privately with your answer. So I'm sorry I wasn't able to redo it and do it on air, but I will definitely give you an answer. Anyway, it's essentially time for us to go, guys. We will continue this talk for next show on the mysteries. So I apologize that we didn't get to it this time, but it's going to be a really cool topic to talk about for next time, because the mysteries are one of the most popular thing about ancient Greek paganism for a lot of people. Don't you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I hear about it talked about quite a bit.
Yeah. And I'm sorry that I did most of the talking this time, Adam, because I think I kind of blew you out, but that's okay. We will discuss this again next week. So please tune in to our show next week, where we will once again discuss the mysteries. All right, thank you, and have a nice night.
Night, everyone.